the world. It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey, aka Pull Up Petey. It's late on a Tuesday. I'm a little fatigued. Been up for hours waiting on rappers. Things have not been going well for your boy, but hey, we keep it moving.
I'm just glad you knew what day it was.
Yeah, dude. Crazy. Episode 31, the Nick Van Exel episode. Oh, come on.
Nailed it.
Happy belated birthday, Nick Van Exel. He gave us the very fire thank you for the birthday shout out on Twitter about 3 days after his birthday. I appreciate that. I'm here with my boy Abe Schwadron as always. Abe, what's good?
Yep. Here, aka Can't Ban the Schwad Man, aka A Squatty with the Potty, aka Abraham Lincoln Bio. We're back. I think you meant to call it the Thomas Saturansky episode.
You're
but
right.
You may have had just a slip of the tongue.
How is that dude doing? Has he done anything for the Zards?
You know, as sad as it is with that team right now, he's one of the few guys that I actually enjoy watching. So
yeah, I'm happy for him.
I have no issues with him.
And this is also the hashtag prove them wrong episode.
Yes.
So we were talking earlier about the guests we've had. We've had Sean Kilpatrick, legend. Mm-hmm. Langston Galloway, legend.
Mm-hmm.
Who else have we had? John Wallace, legend.
I mean, Jadakiss. You know.
So today we completed our starting five with the center, and we got Jusuf Nurkić from the Denver Nuggets.
Is he bumping Pops Mentzebontu to sixth man? Is that what you're doing?
I don't know, man. I feel like...
Shout out to Pops, man. I saw him at the Wizards-Spurs game a couple weeks ago. You know, he's still rocking with that new job with the Spurs, doing very well.
So I feel like Pops is like the mentor of this team by far.
Oh, I like that.
Of the Slam squad.
Wait, did we just put Jadakiss in the starting five?
Jada's probably the coach, right?
Okay, gotta be.
All right. I gotta go back and look who else has been on this damn show. But yeah, we got Jusuf Nurkić. Really, really cool story. Born in Bosnia, came over to the U.S. when he was drafted. I believe he said it was his first time by the Bulls in 2014.
Yep.
2014. He got traded draft night to the Nuggets, and, you know, he just told us a lot about, you know, differences between Bosnia and America, which are, you know, pretty obvious, but also his father, who is 7 foot tall and 400 pounds.
I mean, that's a big kid, man. He's 22 and a huge dude.
Yeah. So
he told, I mean, I don't think he told us this during the interview. I don't think I'm betraying his trust by repeating it, but he told us before we like cut the mics on that he has a little brother who's 9 years old who wears a size 14 shoe.
It's unreal. And I thought he said his brother was 19. So I was like, oh, like, well, yeah, it's pretty normal. And he's like, no, he's 9. And I was like, he's a size 14 and 9 years old. So if you think Nurkić is big, his brother is about to be a monster.
Unreal.
But anyway, before we get into that, I just want to take a quick few minutes. Shout out Klay Thompson dropping a hot 60 piece.
In under 30 minutes. Ridiculous.
Probably the single. I mean, Westbrook is unreal every single night, but this is probably, by my estimation, the most impressive single night performance thus far this season. I mean, he barely touched the ball and he got 60 points.
Like, catch and shoot, catch and shoot, catch and shoot.
So I went to bed a little early, so I didn't catch the whole thing, but I woke up to multiple texts from Abe. He was just hyped that this was happening. So why don't you just tell us what the in-game experience was like?
I mean, if you're familiar at all with, you know, Klay Thompson's resume, you remember, you know, quarters that he's taken over and scored damn near 40 points in the quarter. So, you know, this was that on steroids. Like, I mean, it's what you said too, though. I think the stat was he only was physically holding the ball for a total of 90 seconds and scored 60 points.
Well, that's the thing. Like, in the offseason, he was like, I'm not giving up shit for Kevin Durant. And, like, he just proved why he should not at all. I mean,
yeah.
When the guy gets hot, he's better than, as good or better than anyone else in the league.
Well, here's my question. Like, and I didn't do, you know, obviously we don't do any preparation for this podcast.
Why the hell would we?
Why would I?
The preparation is years and years of basketball watching.
I'm sure some old head is going to come for me for this, but what is there any player in NBA history who is better at, like, being on fire than Klay Thompson?
I mean, I would say, like, Steph, probably.
But Steph has never scored 60 points.
I know. It's really insane. I mean, Durant, when he gets hot, it's crazy. But, like,
well, first of all, the fact that we just named three guys that are all on the same exact team is insane.
But the shot,
and I don't mean that he's a better player than guys like Steph, guys like Durant, guys like Kobe, but just the what happens when Klay Thompson is on fire is basically unparalleled from anything I've seen. Just the way he just catches it, flicks it up towards the hoop, no matter where he is, where he's facing, where his shoulders are facing, his feet. It just cashes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, the shot he took in the corner, he like turned around on one foot and threw up a fadeaway in the deep corner by the Warriors bench, and it was just splashed. Like, that's when you know a guy can't miss.
I mean, granted, now look, some of those buckets, at least like early on in the first half, were like wide open finger rolls and layups that obviously many of which he's getting because of the attention being paid to the two other amazing players on the floor with him on the offensive end. But regardless, you don't score 60 points in under 30 minutes without being incredibly efficient and just sick, just on fire like that. It's like a video game.
I feel like Melo can get hot like that every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's other guys that can get hot like that, but I would take Klay Thompson for the simple fact of, like, it's not very hard for him to do it once he's hot.
Yeah.
He just catches and flicks it up there. I feel like Melo, Kobe, you know, those guys, it's a more sort of calculated, you know, there's jab steps, there's I'm backing you down, I'm taking you in the post, now I'm going to take you out in the perimeter. Like, Klay Thompson just, oh, I caught it, where's the hoop?
Yeah, this is going up.
Yeah.
I think, what's my man's name, Stephen Wong? Stephen LeBron, Alex Wong,
was Alex his
name?
Wong.
Yeah, Alex Wong, a.k.a. Stephen LeBron, Twitter interviewed Clay over the summer, and he said he thought if anyone could score 100 points in a game, it'd be Clay Thompson. And Clay was like, I'd have to get really hot. And, like, I mean, had he played, like, a full 48 last night, he probably would have hit 100, like, with
keep
ease.
Keep feeding them.
With ease, yeah. So,
and if they, also, too, like, and this is what probably makes them so easily – hateable, but the bench reactions from the Warriors were priceless.
I know. I was thinking, like, if I'm on the Pacers, I'm so hot.
So pissed.
Watching that, but at the same time, so it's like, we're allowing this to happen. So,
yeah,
you know, we can only blame ourselves for something like this. I mean, it was just a lifeless performance from the Pacers.
What happened to the, like, everyone's going to knock down guys on the Warriors? Like, oh, Steph Curry's going to get knocked out or, like, bowled over. Where was any of that last night? Where's the pride, Indiana?
I know, it's what happened to the Pacers.
The funny thing
day,
is, watching that game, it was almost as if the Pacers didn't even, were just sort of faceless humans, like, running around the court, like Washington Generals, basically.
It could have been us out there. Like, it didn't
matter. The thought of Paul George being on the other side of that didn't even cross my mind until after the game. I was like, oh, wait, that was the Pacers.
Yeah, like, one of the 12 best players in the league was on the court.
It's just, but it didn't matter who it was. It was just, this was just a Warriors thing that was happening regardless, and the other team didn't even matter.
Mm-hmm. Word. Anything else catch your eye this week, news-wise? What do you think about Draymond, speaking of the Warriors, out here just kicking everybody?
Oh, yeah, he should probably stop.
He's got to chill, but that's about as far as, like, yeah, I'm not into all that.
I mean, I'm totally into him embracing the villain role here.
Yeah, it was interesting, like, in the offseason.
But still, don't kick people in the head and butt and face, bro.
Yeah, someone's going to get really, really hurt at some point from that. But it was interesting, this, like, over the summer when everything bad happened, like, between the Snapchat thing and, like, getting arrested outside of the bar at Michigan State. And coming into the season, you're like, all right, like, he's got to turn a new leaf and, like, start, you know, behaving himself, but he's just like, nah, I'm good. This is me. But I appreciate that about him. He's like, he's not going to be out here pretending to be like a, you know, I'm not going to say like a good dude, because he is a good dude, but, like, you know, someone who's not going to act out every now and then. But, you know, that's who he is. The Warriors, I mean, all right, yeah, they probably would have won the finals had he not, you know, tapped LeBron in the nuts. But,
well, I don't know about probably, but certainly a much better chance.
Yeah,
having him out there than not.
But hey, like, if you get the good Draymond, you gotta take the bad Draymond. That's,
I do
that's
think
how
it's,
it works.
I do think it's interesting, sort of seeing where he's taken his sort of personal narrative this year, because he, you know, after last season being an All Star and sort of this summer and the last two summers, really, people recognizing just how much he means to the Warriors and how his versatility is so critical for them, and basically being respected across the board by every publication, including our own, as, like, a top 20 player in the NBA. And now it's not like taking a step back necessarily, but just kind of taking it into a direction. Like, he was kind of destined moving up towards being a superstar in the league. And now he's kind of embracing, like, a Dennis Rodman-ish role, which I didn't really see for him, but I'm here for it.
I'm interested
to see where it goes. If it comes with rings, I'm sure he doesn't care what he's looked at.
Nor will the Warriors. Yeah, that's about it for me and news-wise, but very dope interview with Nurkic coming up. Very dope issue on the way. While you're waiting for that, Cop Slam 204 with Westbrook and the Thunder on the cover. Jordan's Volume 3 also on stands. Follow us at Slam Online on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat.
Hashtag prove them wrong.
Twitch. Do we have a Twitch account? My favorite thing right now is Lance Stevenson. Be like, follow me on Twitch. But anyway, that's another thing.
Get the Weibo popping.
But yeah, big shout out. Thank you to everyone for listening. Shout out to Yusuf Nurkic. Shout out to Sean Kilpatrick. You're a boy.
Yeah.
Shout out to every single person who's ever said hello to Abe and I. We appreciate you all. Peace.
Don't ever stop.
Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jada.
All right. We're joined now by Yusuf Nurkic, center for the Denver Nuggets. Was very kind to come down and give us a few minutes while he's in New York. They're playing the Nets on Wednesday night. Yusuf, welcome, man. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it for letting me in.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I was just, you know, I was watching the draft night of when you got picked, 2014, and everyone is, like, so excited, so happy that the night they get drafted, but you in particular, like, your face was just, I don't want to say shocked, but, like, the look of surprise and happiness on your face was really something special. So can you just take us back to that night? What was going through your head while you were sitting there in New York?
Hey, man, that's probably the most happy night in my life. And, you know, when you dream something about and, you know, try to be one of them and try to play in the best league in the world. And that night when they called you and you said, okay, let's see what happened. Mm. And you're in the room waiting to hear your name. And a couple of minutes before, you know where you go. So you kind of starting to be nervous. Especially for me, like, first time in USA, first time in New York, and whole world changed overnight. And kind of when you see your name and your country represent over there, it's feel amazing for me, and I was proud for myself and my family, my people. So it's really amazing to be one of them.
How much did you know about the NBA and, like, all the specific teams? Because, I mean, at that point, you were still pretty young guy, right? So, like, did you know about the Nuggets and the Bulls and all these teams that they were talking to you about? Or?
Yeah, sure. I was known the teams and the probably 80% of the player in the league. Mm-hmm. And just try to enjoy the moment. Right. But, you know, it's kind of weird to say, but, like, you don't know anything. Like,
yeah.
When you come into the new system, new culture, new kind of, you know, new people, everything is new for you, and especially you young, you never been like that far.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough process about, like, learning, but, you know, I'm getting used to.
Yeah. And then that night you got traded, you and Gary Harris were both traded. Did that create, like, a special bond between you two? Are you too close?
No, we are close, actually, from the first night. Mm-hmm. Gary is a great guy, man. He's a special human, like, he care about you, and he's a great guy in the locker room. I think he's going to be a great player, especially what he do for us, and over the court, you know, and the court, special in the defense and offense, both ends. So I think he's kind of Jimmy Butler, but, you know, it's a progress still for him, especially right now. He's dealing kind of with the injuries, and it's kind of bad luck. The best guy in the shape in the team is getting injured. He's like, you know, it's not a funny thing.
Yeah. Did you know his mother played in the WNBA back then?
I know.
Yeah.
I know now.
Yeah. You got anything?
No, I was just going to ask, like, you know, when you say that you're close with him, obviously, you know, because of, you know, coming in the same draft class, both rookies and stuff. But, I mean, you're coming from a very different culture from where he's coming from. So how did you guys kind of, like, bridge a gap and become friends like that?
I mean, I think he understands, like, I'm not the guy who somebody looking for. Like, I'm the guy, if you're honest with me and try to be friend, I'm the best. Like, you know, he know I'm not very good with English that time, and he know I'm the good guy because we going the same way. Mm-hmm. So we going the same direction and same team. So why we make something wrong? Like, everything was go from the first night right direction. And it just built on that. So every day was, you know, we hanging out. We every day in the locker room, practice together, workouts together. Like, it's something like getting normal. I mean,
how did you? What was the best way of improving your English?
Just talking, you know, with the people, with actually my teammates and, you know, everybody around. Yeah. You need to feel free about, you know, in America it's easier because nobody make fun of you. Mm-hmm. Everybody try to help you. In my country, if you say something wrong, they make fun of you. So it's kind of even harder, but I like it in that way, you know.
Right.
They everybody helped me a lot, so special teammates in the first year.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to going through.
Yeah, I mean, because sometimes guys will be like, oh, like I listen to music or I watch a certain TV show that helped me learn. But it sounds like you just kind of did it by talking to other guys.
Nah, I was just like, you know, try to understand what they're talking. And I was happy I have the right guy. Because if I have wrong guy, it's like, you know, it can be in a different ways. But I think it's most when you're speaking with the guys and the people around self, you know, it's way easier.
For sure.
Yeah, and I mean, the Nuggets have a lot of international players on the roster between you, Nikola, Emmanuel Mudiay. So did that, like, I know they came a little after you, but did you help them, their transition to the locker room?
I mean, whatever they need from me, and if they ask me if I feel I need help them, I try to help them because I know how hard that is. And it's right now is maybe even easier because we have a less veterans and great people right now. And you see Gallo, Jameer, Mike Miller, and those guys is like great thing for us. I mean, even with the mentors and be great guy in the locker rooms, and they don't make trouble for those rookies. Yeah. Like how it's supposed to be. Everybody talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. Like so, hazing and stuff, yeah.
So right now we're doing great about that. So I think our rookies are doing great, especially Jamal and Juancho and even a little bit less because he not play a lot, the Malik Beasley.
Yeah.
But they're doing great. Whatever we asking for them and the coaching staff, they're doing great.
I mean, that being said, though, I'm sure there are certain things that you miss from home, right? So what are the things that you miss the most?
It's kind of tough. You're getting used to this life, you know. And you try to make your home. And I try to make my home in Denver and do whatever I can to feel there like a home.
Yeah.
And I'm doing great job with that. But, you know, you miss a lot of friends, man, family stuff. You just can't be improving with that, you know. Mm-hmm. You're getting grow up with somebody and, you know, you talk to him always and try to stay in touch, but it's kind of tough, but you have a summer for that at least.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you said earlier your family is still, they're all back in Bosnia, correct?
Damn Bosnia.
So, you know, how often do you talk to them? What's the, you know, how do you communicate with them? Email or FaceTime?
No, FaceTime, Skype before, and, you know, try to see, you know, either way you find out, you know, just tough when you fly around the league and, you know, countries. It's hard to communicate because 8 hours different, six hour different right now, but, you know, you're getting used to, so you find out.
And then your father, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's like 7'4", right?
He's a 7 foot, yeah.
7 foot tall?
7 foot.
So, I mean, did he introduce you to basketball? Or?
No. I mean, it's kind of crazy story, but he's a police officer, 7 feet tall, like more than 400 pounds.
Wow.
So he's big.
That's a big dude.
Mama, yeah, he's no mess with him, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's still my agent, but like my first agent when he found me in Bosnia, and he see like, because he see my father first and see like, do you have a kids? Like he said, yes, I got one, and he gave me a lot of trouble because I can't find shoes for him, and but like it's kind of funny because how the start, because this guy, he said you can be a great player, and he said from the first day I meet him you're gonna be an NBA player, and first day I was like, what's wrong with this dude, man? Like like I haven't even practiced because I started like 2009. And my first professional contract, 2009. So you play overseas professional at 18, so 17, 16, you start before.
Yeah.
So I was starting like 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny when you hear the guy who said that, and when you watch right now to the back, it's everything say true.
Yeah.
And it's a good. I mean, you feel good about that, and you try improvement and try to get better every day.
What did the rest of your family say when you know, your agent shows up and he's like, I want to make you an NBA player? What did the rest of your family say?
But they don't know nothing about that. Like,
oh, okay.
Because my dad, like I said, was a police officer, and he tried to play basketball that they can find shoes for him. He's like 22, two shoes size number.
Yeah.
And it's hard, like, when you in a country, they not, like, it's hard for us in my country because they not support a lot, right, because it's policy like that. But, you know, when he said to us, he was like, my dad, he not even take it serious. Like, this would talk something, you know, but this guy was like really, you know, coming every day to us and talking about that, and he was serious.
Yeah. So, you know, when everyone around you is kind of like, there's no way that's going to happen, like, how do you get in the gym and just work and practice every day? Like, what's
the it's funny, like, when you, I never left my family before in my life. Like, mm-hmm. I was like 14 and a half and years old, and I was never like left even to go overnight sleep somewhere. Mm-hmm. So he picked me up and go to Slovenia and my first club, and I was like, for 6 months I was almost crying every day. Like, yeah. it's a new thing. Like, you start from the zero, and from the first year it's fun. You know, you try you're going to school there and you try to learn new language, new culture, like I said. And it's process, but it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Second year is like, man, I want to play.
Yeah.
Like, I want to play. I think you know everything. But it's hard because you never played before.
Right.
You never practice. So you go in. I was practicing five times per day.
Wow.
And it's release and going to school at the same time. So it's hard, like, when you want to do, when you make people wrong, prove them wrong. So for my life is like all about that, prove them wrong. And it's good, because my third year I was like start getting play and I get hurt. So 2011 I got first injury, and I coming back, and from that changed everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I changed the club, start playing in high leagues in overseas. So I was getting with the Cedevita Zagreb, and we was play EuroLeague, and I don't get a lot of opportunity. So I was trying to get back to the little bit less league, which is maybe third, fourth league in overseas, Adriatic League, which is a good league for young player.
Yeah,
and I was play for Zadar for the half, probably 6 months, and I was have unbelievable time there. They support me. The fans over there is unbelievable. People, you know, love you when you fight and show you want to play for them. And mm-hmm. they support you, the coaching staff, everybody, like, love me over there. So I was grateful. I was have opportunity to play for them. And I was coming back from Zadar to Cedevita, my first club, first professional club, I said. And Jasmir Epša was our coach, and he would say, I want to be, he wanted me, he see me in a big part of his year. So I was liking what he want to do, and I was coming from the bench, but every play, well, as soon as I come in the game, he's play for me. So I was like his system, and he's an unbelievable coach.
Yeah.
So I was playing, I don't know, 14, 15 minutes of the game, and I was like 12-7. So it's kind of good to feel you part of something, so you feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you mentioned in there was, you know, you're all about, you know, proving people wrong. Obviously, you got that the prove them wrong hashtag. So, can you just talk a little bit about what that means to you? Why that phrase in particular is like important to you?
You know, like, it's about opportunity to play in NBA, and when you get a chance, make sure you do right. And for my first year, I was like probably the first rookie who got like five guys from me. You have I come into the team who have already five big guys.
Yeah.
And almost six. So the when I have interview with the GM, Tim Conley, and before the draft, he said, we want to draft you, but you're not going to play. I would say, you were going to see. We will see. Like, and it's funny. Like, you don't want to give up, man. I'm never going to give up on anything. So when you go hard, play. But in NBA, it's tough because you don't have a lot of practice. So you have a lot of games. And
you came in your rookie year, you were the starting center.
Yeah.
And, so there you go. Prove them wrong right away.
I try, man. Like, I do my best I can, and you're waiting for the opportunity to play in when he's there, try to do best. And but it's hard when you see the players like have a lot of support from everybody, even coach, you know, organization, franchise. Like, it's different for us when you come from. But you know, I get there. I know I get there.
Yeah.
And so when you were playing overseas, and who were some NBA guys that you were a fan of and like to watch?
Just one.
Who?
Is it Kobe Bryant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got to play against him.
Yes, so my first game in NBA is against him, Lakers, and in San Diego.
First game ever.
First game ever
against your favorite player ever. Yeah. Was that like? I mean, what was going through your head?
Hey man, this game I just talked like 1 hour ago about that, and I was going to the warm up. And I would see him, and I would stop warm up. I would just sit down and on a bench and looking for him, how he warm up, running and talking. And I was still not believe I playing against him. And we start the game. Coach call my name, and I was like going this way. I should go this way. So coach, no, this way. And I was like, okay, let's start. And I was like just watching him. I don't know where I play and with who I play. I was just watching him. And coach called the plays, the brand show. And I don't know him play. I forget everything. So yeah. he see what's going on. And, you know, he said in halftime, okay, it's the second half. Let's try to be better. By itself, you know, when you dream about that and you see the guy, you know, it's emotion and it's kind of – dreams come true, and it's tough. And I will remember that night for my life. And it's good. I mean, I really remember that night for my life.
Did you guys have any type of conversation or anything?
Yeah, we got for first day, but, you know, after my second year. This year, last year, when he got retirement, we have a lot. So he got signed me jersey and shoes. So it's kind of big time for me.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So, you know, obviously now – like you now, a lot of people, fans or guys around the league, you know, they know you as someone who you don't back down from anyone. So how did you go from your first game ever just like staring at Kobe Bryant, you know, like not having any idea where you were, to now being a guy that, you know, you don't take anything from anyone, you'll stand up to anyone no matter who they are? How did you go from that?
I respect a lot of guys off the court, but in the court it's just different, man. You go out there, you try to compete and then do best for your team.
Yeah.
And when I go out there, I have to be fun out there, and for self, you know, for my teammates, help them to win and get better like every game. So when I go there, I have a chance to do something fun. I do. So I'm not going back down. So if he better, he need to show that.
So you guys left Philly last night and drove to New York. So did you did you guys catch wind, or were you following on Twitter like Klay Thompson's 60-point performance at all?
Yeah, we see that.
Yeah. So what do you got, like, when you see something like that, like, what's the mood on the bus and while you're driving? Do you guys talk about it at all?
A little bit. We're talking about that, like, you know, some guys want to, you know, wish he can see the game. Some doesn't care. Like, you know, he should be happy, not we.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just so rare to see something that. It's like, I don't know. I don't know how players talk about it on the bus, but I don't know. That was amazing to me, I must say, as a fan.
I mean, he's a great shooter, man. Like, if you're not guarding him, he's going to score.
Then, going up against Joel Embiid last night, you know, what was that matchup like? He's getting a lot of hype this year too.
Like I said, like he's gonna be a great player. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. But I think he talk a little bit too much.
He talks too much
sometimes. Yeah. And
you got him at least once. Swatted his stuff at least once last night.
I mean, I was watching the game. He was getting pissed off on the bench. He was pissed off.
But yeah. like I said, he was going to be a great player, and he's a great guy. So I'm happy for him. Yeah. And you know, when you get hurt like for 2 years, it's not easier, man. I know that. And like I said, right now I'm going to speak different than on the court. But he was hurt 2 years. He not play. He's should be third year right now.
Yeah.
And he's the first
rookie.
So it's a hard time, man. You know, he not in shape, still, you know, looks like. And he try getting used to the rhythm in NBA and still protest. And, you know, I give him credit a lot, but, you know, I'm not going back down. I know what I can do, but, you know, I try to do my best, and he try to do so.
Who are some of the other, like, good trash talkers in the NBA?
right now?
Yeah.
It's only 20 games in the season. But,
well, you've been around for a couple of years now. I'm sure you've had some good
KG is like the one thing you know, we don't want to mess. Like,
yeah.
I think I don't have a chance to spoke to talk with him because I hear some stuff when he's saying, I like it. I mean,
you're a fan of his trash talk style. Okay.
Sure.
So gotcha. when he was talking trash, were you just like laughing at it?
I was laughing like that's funny. Even he talked to my teammate, I was like, okay, makes sense.
You're probably like taking that and like I can use this later.
Yeah,
it's tough, you know. Sometimes, especially for me, when I come from different kind of people and you know from overseas, if I say something wrong, the people can use me against me. I mean, even if I don't mean that, like, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't I'm be careful with what I say because, you know, sometimes you say in a different kind of, you know, what you mean and they take opposite. So I don't want to be in a situation like that. So
you ever like curse someone out in a language you know that they can't understand?
Oh, I mean, I always curse in my language, so
yeah. They, that's
it's
what I mean,
easier. Exactly. Like, you're gonna do probably the same if you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's kind of natural. Like, you're not gonna curse in English because you're Bosnian. I mean,
right. That's a good point.
So, kind of, I'm not do that because try to nobody understand me because it's just a natural way.
Yeah. So when you have like some of those moments where you like, you know, swat someone's shot and stare at them or whatever, what do your teammates tell you like in the locker room, or do they laugh at the video of it or whatever?
I mean, they know what I can do, and they know that if I get a chance, I'm gonna out there forget it. But we're laughing, man, like, especially with the funny moments, like, you know. I remember long game, my actually first or second year in the Lakers, against Lakers in the Lakers. And we play. I think we win games like by 15 or something like that. I blocked the shot, and Kenan was saying in my language and swearing. I was like, like no necessary for that, but like it's good, it's fun. Like, you know, in my country when they translate that, you know, everybody love it. Especially like you can hear the comments when I block the shot. They speaking in Bosnian.
Yeah.
So you know, my people respect that. So. I love it when
they
do it in the right way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So do you have like a big Bosnian fan base that like stays up? Or I guess it's what, 8 hours? Is it 8 hours
right
ahead?
Right now, six.
Six ahead?
Yeah, in Denver's eight.
So will they get up at like 3 o'clock?
They're watching a lot.
Wow.
You know, and it's going to be fun to have something from NBA there too.
Yeah.
So we're working on that. Yeah. But, you know, I have a lot of support because only two of us in the whole country in NBA. So
wow. Who's the other one?
Teletovic.
Oh, that's right. That's
Milwaukee.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And then, you know, you guys do have a super young team. So, like, who are some of the funniest guys on the team?
Yeah, we have a lot of talent, man. I think the Jameer and Mike Miller are the more funny guys on
really?
The team. Especially Jameer, I think. Jameer Nelson is, like, without him going to be, like, sad.
Yeah.
Why? What is it? What does he do? Is it, like, stuff he does or stuff he says?
Both. I mean, I play with Nate, and he's like Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
He's the funniest guy ever I see. But but what he do, and but Nate is just like funny dude. Like when we talk to him, and but the Jameer is like what he says is just like, you know, it's kind of true and at the same time funny.
Yeah,
and I love it be around him.
Yeah. And then you guys have Steve Hess is your team trainer. He's like, I met him once. He's one of the most wild dudes I think I ever met. So what's it like going to work with him every day?
It's a positive atmosphere every day. Like, I never met a person who can have that impact, positive and energy like him.
Mm-hmm.
So he was unbelievable my first year, my second year, especially I get hurt. That's my big time with him. So he believed in me more. It's weird to say, but he believed more in me than I was.
Yeah.
So every day I was work out with him at 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning. Like, we would do some, you know, you want to do it. Like, and he never said no. Like, whatever, you know, I would listen to him to advice and stuff, what I can do better and stuff. But he was, like, so motivated person. Like, he doing whatever stake to motivate you to work better. So I'm glad I got him in Denver. So he was, like, perfect for me.
So as far as, you know, yourself and your individual, you know, your career and how you've gotten to this point, like, do you have Do you have a list of like things you want to accomplish? Like, I want to be, you know, an all-star, have certain numbers, certain, you know, scoring,
like,
rebounds.
Like I said, I know my goals, and I know what I can do. But as soon as my opportunities come, I'm going to show everybody. But I'm pretty sure I can be all-star in this league even more. But, you know, I will speak in the court, so it's way easier for me and do you guys understand me.
Gotcha. And just a couple more, and thanks again for the time. I was reading that, you know, over the summer you were training in Denver and you were getting so frustrated with the traffic you got a bike. Where the hell do you get a bike that big? Number one.
I custom bike because, yeah, you know, after injury and, you know, it's a good thing about your knees getting motion and back and special traffic in Denver right now. I think somebody said the 16,000 people per month coming to Denver, so which is a lot. I mean, it's crazy how this city is just growing up. So I was get an idea to get a bike, and Steve was like, no, you're not getting a bike. I was like, I will. And as soon as I get the green light for doctor and him to get the ride the bike, I was like, go there and custom bike. So for me, it's like, no way I can go to the shop to buy the bike.
Yeah.
So I was need to go to the Boulder and custom him.
So did anybody ever like stop you on the street and be like,
who? Yeah, but like, I'm, you know, when everybody like do normal thing, I will stop and talk, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's a normal, like, especially in Denver right now. I don't think everybody know we have basketball city, a basketball team in the town. So you say, I said with Mike Miller, I talked a couple days ago and said I'm walking downtown, and some guys like, "Hey Mike, what you doing here?" I was like, "I guess play basketball." So it's a funny, but I think we have a lot of talent, and it's a hard for coach to decide who gonna play. But it's a good way when somebody. It's not, I mean, great way of someone get it for, but like, you always have a guy who can step up. Mm-hmm. So it's a good.
Yeah, and I mean, Wilson Chandler is leading you guys in scoring, and you know, he was hurt for a few years too. You know, what's it been like watching him come back and play and have a successful year?
I'm so happy for him, you know, because I know what's going on when you're more than 8 months out. So when he come back and he's our guy from the bench who know you're gonna bring you something to every night, so at least 15 points you got him every night, so it's good, you know, the guy who can score, play right now how basketball is going, it's a small ball, so he can play 3 and 4, so he's good, man, good, have a world back, so strong, and great basketball player.
So, you know, obviously, you know, you probably have, as most NBA players do, you got a lot of downtime, and you're in Denver, so what are you doing besides basketball? Like, are you ever go snowboarding? Are you going to concerts out there? You going to Broncos games? Like, what else do you do?
Actually, I've never been in an NFL game. Okay. So I want to watch Broncos for sure. But, you know, as soon as I get the time. But I like to watch movies with the friends, hang out, dinner, you know, eat good food. Sometimes walking in.
What's your favorite place to go eat in Denver?
I think Ocean Prime. Ocean Prime is a good place.
What's
close
that, like
to
a steakhouse or something?
It's kind of seafood in the steak place, okay. Like, you know, I like it.
There's no ocean by Denver, though.
I know. We make them.
All right, Yusuf, we really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you guys for having me here.
Cool.